and happy Wednesday. Happy scoping out. Today we're scoping out surrender, our best defense against emotional exhaustion. My name is Tiffany Hammond, just like Tiffany with an R. You can find out about me at tiffanyhammond.com. And if you're watching the recording, you'll see a little card come up here. You can go check me out, get some cool freebies as well. Today we're scoping out surrender. This just keeps coming up for me. And you know, what I do in my personal life is employ a lot of things I do in my professional life. I'm a certified professional life coach. I help high-powered women, strong women, powerful women add the happiness piece to all of the success that they've created, right? We get so driven on that external success and we find ourselves depleted and worn out. So I provide the tools and the content that help us add that happiness piece, and I'm no exception to that. I kind of am my own demographic. So that's the reason why I do these, so that you can see that no one is exempt from this work. No one is above having to practice these things that we practice to better our lives, to make us happier people, and to make us better contributors to the world around us. So this is scoping out, you know, self-empowerment, personal life lessons from the life of a life coach. And I'm so glad you're here. Join me every Wednesday at 8:30 on Periscope. I want to tell you about a you spot it, you got it situation that I had recently. You know, I live by this principle that if I see something in someone else, or if I make any sort of observation, sometimes it's actually a flat out judgment of something outside of myself, then my job is to go inside and look at myself and see where I have work to do left in terms of employing my grace, compassion, forgiveness, understanding of the world, those sorts of things. And I happened to be in a situation recently, and I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus. This is just the context that this came up in. But I was in a situation where I really felt the need to defend my son to my ex-husband. And everybody's intentions, everything was well-intentioned, but you know, sometimes these situations come up and they're very, very uncomfortable. My son is brilliant. He's a brilliant mind. Very unconventional thinker. So not surprising, really, that conventional school does not serve him. It never really has. I homeschooled for a couple years. Those were the best years that he's ever had in education. Every year since, he's asked me to homeschool, and I'm just not wired that way. So hats off to those of you who are out there homeschooling. Best education you can give your kids when you do it right. I'm not wired for it. I'm a much better mom if I'm not also teacher, playgroup coordinator, field trip counselor, even personal counselor, high firefighter, and all of those things. So it's important to me to determine what my role was for my son. And I did ultimately decide to be mom first, which meant I had to drop the homeschooling. And every year since then, he had asked me to homeschool. He had friends. He was gregarious, an introvert still, but quite gregarious. And still every year was like, I'm just not getting what I need to out of school. Well, I'm a little embarrassed to say, I didn't listen all that well. I really didn't. Until now he's a junior, and he finally came to me with this last-ditch effort, and he's like, how about I homeschool myself? There's this program called Unschooling. And my first reaction was, oh my gosh, no way. No way. For a million reasons, no way. Not the least of which was the fact that even though he does really well in the classroom, his teachers love him, he passes the test, he participates, all of those things, he wasn't turning in homework. That's follow through. That's something I feel like in our external world we need. And school, whether we like it or not, painful or not, is a great opportunity to practice that. And his grades were suffering as a result. Well, he wasn't doing it. His grades were suffering. And he kept asking for something different. And I kept saying, you need to learn follow through. And he came to me with this plan. And my first reaction, in all I'll openly admit, was no. Well, this last Sunday, had the opportunity to sit down with my ex, who is acting as though this is the first he's heard of this. It may very well be, for whatever reason, it wasn't on his radar, he wasn't in his bandwidth to pay attention. I don't know, I'm not trying to judge. I'm just saying it all came up brand new, and this gave me the unique opportunity to look at the situation through my son's eyes as we talked about this with my ex-husband, right? And one of the things I said to my ex-husband, because now I'm on board. Garrett has talked me into this. He has defended it. He has made a plan, an accountability plan, a matrix for success and failure. And he has gone to the nth degree to plan this out. It's not some haphazard thing. And what I found myself saying is, you know, you don't understand the kid he was when he was struggling in this conventional realm. You don't understand what that looked like for him when he was in the depths of depression, when he stopped making friends, when he stopped getting involved in things, and he was really wearing out. And I kept using the word depression. I kept using that word. And I said, until I started entertaining this idea of him taking control, of him taking an unconventional path. How many times have we talked on these scopes about unconventional path, about doing that wild, crazy thing? I'm the life coach. I'm the one who says to do it. I'm the one who actually helps my kids do that in certain ways that obviously feel safe to me. I'm growing, becoming better at allowing them to determine what's safe for them. And the moment I started entertaining this idea for Garrett, the moment I started putting some of this control back on him and allowing him the choice to take an unconventional path, was the moment he started to step up to his life, was the moment he started to make friends, get involved. He made a feature-length fanfic film this last summer. That is a huge project. They're refilming stuff because they don't like it. It didn't turn out quite right. So they're not giving up. They're not doing it half-assed. And they're taking this project seriously. He would not have had the bandwidth for that if he had been in that depressed place, if he had been in that emotionally exhausted place, right? So it was only when I said this out loud, it was only when I made out loud this contrast between the two, that it occurred to me to look again at my life. Okay, Triphany, so if that's the case, where can you surrender better? Where has surrender helped you? Now, I want to make the distinction between surrender and giving up, right? Because this was my concern with Garrett. This is my concern with my son. My concern was he was giving up. He didn't want to do his homework. He was giving the bird to the whole administration, trying to prove something. He was just giving up because he didn't feel like doing it, right? Well, that is very, very different from what was really going on for him. What was really going on for him is he had pushed himself emotionally so far, trying to make it work, trying to live by the rules, trying to make his dad happy, trying to make me happy, trying so hard to do everything outside of himself that it depleted him. It emotionally exhausted him. And it wasn't until he surrendered to the idea that he needs an unconventional path that emotional exhaustion started to abate, right? We wear ourselves out when we're constantly pushing against our truth with a capital T, that thing inside of us that says we need something different, that thing inside of us that says something more. And the thing is we're giving up is just not trying at all. Surrender is understanding that there's an inner answer. And as hard as that answer might be, it's time to answer that call. Right? That's the difference. And that call always looks unconventional. I'm glad that this is resonating. That call always looks unconventional. A lot of times it looks like the opposite of what you've been doing. That struggle becomes the way you identify yourself. That struggle becomes, but I work hard and I fight for stuff and I, you know, I'm no quitter and all of those things. It becomes the way we identify who we are, especially if we've actually done some good things with all of that energy. My son, with all of that energy, had somehow managed to still go from grade to grade. He was a black belt in jiu-jitsu. He played volleyball. He played piano. So even with all that external energy trying to take this conventional path, some would argue there were some things working in there, but that emotional exhaustion was taking its toll, and he's only 16. So if you're an adult and you're watching this, imagine how long that struggle, that fight against whatever that inner call is, how much is that wearing you out? How much of a toll is that taking on your well-being? I'd hazard a guess quite a bit. I know for me, when I was in that space during the time in my life, when I wasn't surrendering to my inner call, I got meningitis. I nearly died. So these are real consequences for something that we really, really can change. So what does surrender look like then? If it's not giving up, what does surrender really look like? Well, first of all, it's the ability to just take that beat. It's the ability to throw your hands up and go, I don't know. I don't even know anymore. Right? A friend of mine said to me, I think it was just yesterday, it's funny how quickly things happen when you just think you can't take another step. And it's true. because that's a forced surrender. You get to a point where you're like, I can't. I just can't. I don't know. God, universe, powers that be, subconscious, whatever it is that's going to help, step in and help me because I can't do this anymore. And then the magical help arrives, right? So I propose, and this is what I'm practicing, and this is what I'm working on, is the moment we start to feel that emotional exhaustion, the moment we start to feel that peace that could potentially lead us into depression, is the moment we surrender. The moment. We don't wait. We don't keep fighting. We don't keep pushing. And watch your language. Because if you keep saying, oh, that's just another fight. Oh, man, I struggle against that. Oh, that is my burden to bear. These are terms I hear all the time in clients and friends and just the general public, that we're constantly on guard. We constantly have this need to fight whatever it is. If you're saying that all the time, your subconscious really is trying to fight all the time. Do you understand? So you can first watch your language. And anywhere you're saying you can fight is a place where you can surrender. That is a place where you can say, okay, for just this, maybe it's 5 minutes. For 5 minutes, I just give up. For 5 minutes, I'm going to say that it is not in my control. I am going to trust that whatever answers are going to need to come are going to come. And then maybe it's 10 minutes, and then maybe it's a half hour. And then we just get better and better at surrendering in general. So for me personally, I know I'm not in surrender when my body tenses up. I really feel it in my neck. I can really feel it in my neck and shoulders when I'm pushing. Like, oh, okay, Trifony, time to surrender. So you want to listen to those cues early on. Now, one of the contentions that I hear a lot when I start talking about surrender is, okay, great, but surrender to do what? You talk about this inner calling, like I'm just supposed to know what that is, but I don't know what that is. So what am I surrendering to? What do I do with that? And my practice, my personal practice, is giving up the need to know. It's more surrender, right? Surrendering the need to know what that big calling is, because I guarantee this, whatever you feel compelled to do in the next 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 2 hours, 6 hours, whatever those things pop up for you, they will lead you to that purpose. They will lead you to that calling. The thing is you've made such a habit of tuning this out. I have been there. I am there still some days where I have tuned out that inner calling to that point where suddenly I just go, I don't know. All I know is I'm tired. All I know is that I can't do this anymore. And what happens when we go, okay, well then just show me the next step. We take that next step. And something else is revealed. Maybe we'll meet somebody who says something. Maybe we'll pick up a book and it, you know, flops open to a page that reminds us of something that we wanted to do. Maybe in a, you know, meditative mindset while we're doing some mundane thing like dishes or dusting or whatever, something occurs to us. The thing is when we surrender the need to know exactly what those answers are, we allow ourselves the journey it takes to find those answers. If you meditate, that's, you know, direct contact. If you are used to, you know, journaling, meditating, going in deep, getting into that subconscious, you can hear those things, dream analysis, symbology, all that. There are ways in your physical world you can find that. And if you're not used to that, just take the next step. That's really all you have to do, is just take the next step. That's it. That is surrender. That is trusting that the next step is going to take you where you are. And let me tell you what happens when you begin to do that. These tiny little magical things happen and you go, where did that come from? Oh my gosh. Remember, we've talked about this before too. You start logging those. You start keeping track of those. You start paying attention to the proof that this works. Suddenly, you don't see any reason to struggle anymore. There is no reason to fight because you have a whole body of proof that shows you how surrender works. Then you don't get to that place where you're outward struggle, fighting, fists up, ready to go all the time. You're not emotionally exhausted. You've got bandwidth to deal with the hard stuff, the ex that comes in and you know, has one of these difficult conversations, or the son that brings up an unschooling plan. You know, suddenly you've got the bandwidth and the presence to be there when it's time for someone else to surrender. So I hope that makes sense to you. If you have any questions, obviously pop them up. I'm going to give you one more little thing before I go, but I want to give you the calendar of events. Today, obviously, Wednesday, 8:30 Mountain Time is scoping out. That's this. Going to have this. So put that on your calendars for Wednesdays. Today, right after this at 9 a.m. is Fail to Win. That is the course that gets you out of your own effing way. So if you're a student of that already, come to that. If you're not, go to the website and check that out. On the recording, I'll put up, you know, links up in here. And then at 11 a.m., Conscious Transitions Office Hours. Tomorrow, we've got Inside Scope. That is where I answer your questions. So make sure you send those in. Again, I'm going to, on the recording, you'll see the little thing come up here. Go ahead and send in your question. Tomorrow, we're talking about a big one, the overwhelm that happens during transitions when there's a million things you know you should be doing and you can't seem to do any of them because you're trying to do them all at once. So you want to be there tomorrow at 9 a.m. for the Inside Scope, and make sure to send in your question for next time. Then next Wednesday, scoping out at 8:30, Fail to Win again at 9, and group coaching for my lovely members at 11 a.m. next Wednesday as well. So before I go, I want to give you one more little gift, because this is really super important. I know a lot of times the very first thing that people feel when they begin this surrender practice is guilt. How do I surrender to my path when I'm responsible for everyone else's, especially if you're a parent? How do it's the story comes up as it's selfish. You know, I've made a commitment to my boss, my spouse, my neighbors, my friends, my kids, to keep showing up for them, to keep up this fight. How do I lay down the fight and still honor my commitments to others? And I'm going to say the really obvious thing that you would say to your very, very best friend, but you might need to hear it too. If you're not taking care of yourself, there's nothing left for you to do to take care of others. There's nothing left inside of you that can take care of others. So above and beyond everything else that's happened. Yes, surrender. We've talked about curiosity. We've talked about grace and forgiveness and all those things. But really at the heart of all of that is this element of self-care. So today I want to give you permission to surrender. I want to give you permission to take that beat, to take a look at yourself, to take a guess at what that inner calling might be, and to give you permission to take that next step toward it. Even when, because it's more likely to be a when, you feel guilty. And anytime that guilt story comes up, there's a place for you to have grace, compassion, and forgiveness for yourself. So remember, your practice is always in love with a capital L. We're always practicing that. And we must start with ourselves, because what we do in our highest good, we do in the highest good. So stay in your lane, go out there, create some great work, surrender, listen to the call, be good to yourselves, all of those wonderful things. Remember to subscribe, and I will see you hopefully tomorrow on the Inside Scope. Bye-bye, everybody. Create a great week.